The Nine Attributes of the Buddha by Sele Susila. Part 2, Chapter 3. Vijja Charana Sampanno, Endowed with Knowledge and Conduct. Vijja means clear knowledge and refers to higher knowledge. Charana is conduct and denotes the practice of virtuous conduct. As we chant, know that vijja means knowledge that is consummate or perfect, and charana means a totally virtuous practice of conduct. The Buddha possessed both knowledge and conduct to perfection. There are three knowledges that the Buddha gained on the night of his awakening, plus an additional five knowledges for a total of eight knowledges. Conduct is described in terms of 15 kinds of good deeds. These eight knowledges and 15 kinds of virtuous conduct are the qualities possessed by all Buddhas. Three knowledges. The three knowledges, Tevijja, are: first, knowledge of recollecting previous existences, Pubenivasa Nusatinana. The Buddha can recall aeons of his previous existences in all their facets and details. This includes the place of birth, the given name, the appearance, and the realm of rebirth. Second, divine eye, Dibbacakkhunana. With the divine eye, purified and surpassing that of humans, Buddha can see beings passing away and arising according to the law of karma, base and noble, well-favored and ill-favored, to happy and unhappy destinations, as karma directs them, and he knows, quote, these beings, on account of misconduct of body, speech, or thought, or disparaging the noble ones, have wrong view and will suffer the karmic fate of wrong view. At the breaking up of the body after death, they are reborn in a lower world, a bad destination, a state of suffering, hell. But these beings, on account of good conduct of body, speech, or thought, of praising the noble ones, have right view and will reap the karmic reward of right view. At the breaking up of the body after death, they are reborn in a good destination, a heavenly world. End quote. Digha Nikaya 2. 3. Knowledge of the destruction of all taints, Asavakaya Nana. By means of the path consciousness of an arahant, the Buddha destroys all taints by fully understanding the Four Noble Truths. He knows, as it really is, quote, this is suffering. This is the origin of suffering. This is the cessation of suffering. This is the path leading to the cessation of suffering. And through his knowing and seeing, his mind is delivered from the taints of sense desire, from the taint of becoming, from the taint of ignorance. End quote. Digha Nikaya 2. 8 knowledges. In addition to the above-mentioned three knowledges, there are five further knowledges. The fourth knowledge, insight knowledge, Vipassanana. The Buddha is able to clearly comprehend the characteristics of the body and mind, the five aggregates of clinging, as impermanent, suffering, and not-self, and this is the default dwelling place of arahats, Satata Vihari. Fifth, knowledge of creating a mind-made body, including multiple bodies, Manomaya Iti. Creating thousands of replicas of himself at will is something a Buddha can do with ease, as can certain disciples of the Buddha who attain this knowledge, such as the monk Chulampantika. One day, the Buddha and his resident community of bhikkhus were invited to the householder Jivaka for a meal. Mahapantika, who was in charge of assigning the bhikkhus to meal invitations, left out his brother Chulampantika from the list. At the house of Jivaka, when they were about to pour a libation of water as a mark of donation, Buddha covered the bowl with his hand and said that there was one monk left uninvited. Buddha asked them to fetch Chulampantika from the monastery. When the messenger from the house of Jivaka arrived at the monastery, he found not only one bhikkhu, but 1,000 identical bhikkhus. They had all been created by Chulampantika through his supernormal powers. The messenger was baffled and he turned back and reported the matter to Jivaka. The messenger was sent to the monastery for the second time and was instructed to say that the Buddha summoned the bhikkhu by the name of Chulampantika. But when he delivered the message, 1,000 voices responded, I am Chulampantika. Again baffled, he turned back. The third time he was sent back. He was instructed to get hold of the bhikkhu who first said that he was Chulapantika. As soon as he got hold of that bhikkhu, all the rest disappeared, and Chulapantika accompanied the messenger to the house of Jivaka. Sixth, knowledge of various kinds of psychic powers, Idivita. A Buddha possesses various psychic powers, such as flying cross-legged through the sky like a bird with wings, walking on water, passing through solid things, such as a wall, penetrating solid ground as if it were water, touching sun and moon with his hand, becoming invisible, traveling to a heaven and reappearing back on earth in a second. Here is an account of the Buddha's psychic powers. 1 year after the Buddha attained full enlightenment, his father, the king, invited him to return to his hometown. The Buddha's clan, the Sakyans, were a proud clan. The elders of the clan and the royal family members were reluctant to pay homage to the returning Buddha due to his relative youth. To discourage their conceit, the Buddha performed various kinds of supernormal powers. The Buddha flew to the air, built a bridge with seven colors, and walked up and down the bridge. He performed the twin miracles, Yamika Patihariya, by first entering into the fourth jhana, alternating between the fire and water kasinas very quickly at will, and then fully concentrated, he issued water from the upper half of his body and fire from the lower half of his body. As a result of this feat, the Sakyans were impressed by the powerful miracles performed by the Buddha. Their conceit was subdued, and all of them paid reverential respect to the Buddha. Even though the Buddha had various kinds of supramundane psychic powers, he only performed them with good intention, with the intention to help others to develop faith, and never for his own status or welfare. When the Buddha was about to enter Parinibbana, although he was very frail in health, he described his body as an old creaking chariot, he remained determined to walk for months to Kusinara, the chosen place to enter Parinibbana. This was also done for the benefit of his last disciple, Subhadda. Buddha knew that by listening to a sermon, Subhadda would ordain and become an arahant. Despite his frail health and sickness, the Buddha made this last trip, stopping only 25 places to rest. From this, we can see the incomparable compassion and determination of the Buddha. Seventh, divine ear, Dibbasota. The Buddha is able to hear sounds both divine and human, whether far or near, soft or loud. Eighth, knowledge of the thoughts of others, Cetto Parijñāna. The Buddha is able to read the minds of others so that he knows another's mind as being with passion or without passion, liberated or unliberated, etc. This includes discerning the stages of insight or awakening of any being. Digha Nikaya 2. These are the eight knowledges possessed by the Buddha. 15 kinds of virtuous conduct. Virtuous conduct, Chadana, consists of 15 kinds, namely, first, restraint by the rules of the community, Patimokkha Samvara Sila. The path of purification explains the Patimokkha with these words, quote, the Patimokkha, rule of the community, is the virtue of the training precepts, for it frees him who protects it, guards it, and it sets him free from the pains of the states of loss. That is why it is called Patimokkha. End quote. All the rules of restraint, sila, were enacted by the Buddha, who is the only one able to instate a rule. Second, restraint of the six sense faculties, Indriya Samvada Sila. The Buddha can easily restrain the eye, ear, nose, tongue, and mind faculties with perfect mindfulness. Thus the defilements, kilesas, cannot enter the mind through the six sense doors. Generally, worldlings lose control of their mind when the six sense faculties make contact with the six pleasant objects, because lust and greed arise from this contact. On the other hand, when the six sense faculties come in contact with the six unpleasant objects, aversion arises. Switching between lust, greed, and aversion is the habitual pattern of the unrestrained mind and results in suffering due to lack of mindfulness and mental stability. Third, moderation in eating, Bhojana Matanutta. Moderation in eating means to know the right amount of food required to preserve a healthy body, and then while serving oneself and eating, reflecting as follows, quote, I partake of this food not for play, not for pride, not for beautification, not for splendor, but only for the maintenance and continuance of this body, which consists of four primary elements, to ease the discomfort of hunger and to support the practice of the holy life, brahmacharya. Reflecting wisely, I will destroy the old feeling of discomfort due to hunger without creating new feelings by overeating. Thus, I will maintain myself, be healthy, blameless, and live in comfort and at ease. End quote. Overeating has become a common problem nowadays. We eat not only to ease hunger, but for pleasure and enjoyment. Controlling the right amount of food ingested is very important for health and meditation. If we cannot restrain ourselves from greediness and are obsessed with eating too much, we will end up feeling discomfort both in mind and body. This results in inefficiency at work and in meditation. Fourth, devotion to wakefulness or mindfulness, jagariyanu yoga. This means that one makes a determined effort sitting and walking back and forth, holding the mind in check. During the first watch of the night, dusk to 10 p.m., a meditator practices in the same way as in daytime, by using walking and sitting meditation, holding the mind in check, cleansing the mind of any unwholesome qualities. During the second watch of the night, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., one takes the lion posture by reclining on the right side of the body, left leg on the top of the right leg, and mindfully noting the time to wake up. During the last watch of the night, 2 a.m. to dawn, one again uses walking and sitting meditation to purify the mind of any disturbing qualities. In other words, one makes an effort to maintain continuity of mindfulness in the four postures as taught by the Buddha, sitting, walking, standing, and lying down. The Buddha preserved his mindfulness by only sleeping for 1 hour and 20 minutes each day. The remainder of the conducts are the seven good practices, saddhamma, namely, the fifth virtuous conduct, faith, saddha. Faith means absolute confidence, unshakable persistence, and having regard for the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha without harboring any doubt. Here, Buddha means every Buddha, including past and future Buddhas. Faith in the Buddha denotes unshakable confidence, trust, and refuge in him as fully awake or enlightened, and as embodying the path to liberation from suffering. Dhamma means the path, the fruition, Nibbana, and the Tipitaka. This includes Dhamma teachings such as the noble truth of suffering, revealed in our life experiences. For example, when the Buddha-to-be saw the four signs of an old person, sick person, dead person, and a monk, he grew determined to find a way to understand the signs and go beyond them. Sangha refers to the community of the noble ones, the four pairs and the eight individual types of people who have entered the paths and the fruits of Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahat. Sixth, sense of shame, hiri. Hiri means having a sense of shame when performing or intending to perform any unwholesome, unskillful deeds of body, speech, or mind. This includes the violation of the five or eight lay precepts or monastic precepts. Since the Buddha had already eradicated all mental defilements, he would not violate any rules of training. A deep sense of shame is always in him. Seventh, fear of the consequences of wrongdoing, otapa. Otapa refers to having a sense of fear of the consequences resulting from bodily misconduct, verbal misconduct, and mental misconduct. In this case, fear of consequences is a way of protecting virtue, sila, avoiding harming self and others, and also understanding the law of karma. This quality is always with the noble one. Eighth, having great knowledge, bahasutta. Great knowledge includes knowing the ancient discourses and the monastic code, suttas, abhidhamma, vinaya, as well as the insight knowledges. When the Buddha attains Buddhahood, the omniscient knowledge that knows everything that he wanted to know is there. Ninth, right effort, vidya. Right effort means applying persistent effort to abandon unskillful mental qualities and to instead undertake skillful mental qualities. Like the Buddha, we are encouraged to be steadfast and solid in our efforts, and not shirk from duties relating to skillful mental qualities. Right effort includes the four skillful efforts, avoiding and abandoning unwholesome qualities, and cultivating and nourishing wholesome qualities. 10th, mindfulness and full awareness, sati sampajana. The Buddha is mindful, endowed with excellent proficiency in mindfulness, remembering and recollecting even things that were done and said long ago. The Buddha also perfected the four foundations of mindfulness, the body, feelings, mind, and dhammas, mental objects, phenomena. 11th, wisdom, panya. The Buddha's wisdom was able to penetrate the arising and passing away of phenomena, leading to the right and complete ending of suffering. The 12th to 15th factors of virtuous conduct are 12th, the first jhana, 13th, the second jhana, 14th, the third jhana, 15th, the fourth jhana. The Buddha's omniscient knowledge is perfected by the fulfillment of the knowledges. Because of that, he knows what is good or harmful for all beings. His possession of virtuous conduct fulfills his great compassion. Through compassion, he warns beings against harms and exhorts them to do good. That is why his disciples have entered the middle way, instead of entering the two extremes of self-mortification and indulgence in sensual pleasures. The importance of both knowledge and conduct. Knowledge and conduct are both equally important to a practitioner. For example, we develop our conduct by practicing generosity, morality, humble service, persistent effort, wakefulness, and concentration, with the hope of meeting up with good spiritual friends, Kalyanamita, who can show the path to liberation. The Buddha is our best spiritual friend. But since the Buddha has gone, any monastic who can show us the way to end the suffering of birth and death is our good spiritual friend. We develop knowledge, i.e. knowledge to gain penetrative insight into the impermanence, anicca, suffering, dukkha, and the not-self, anatta, nature of the mind and body. In doing so, when we encounter a wise teacher and by listening to the Dhamma taught, we will, with due diligence and mature wisdom on our part, reach the final goal of realizing Nibbana. If, in the present life, a person perfects conduct, and this is not accompanied with the seed of knowledge, then even though he or she is reborn at the time of a future Buddha and is able to hear the Dhamma directly from the Buddha in that life, it may not be easy to realize the Four Noble Truths. An example of this is King Pasenadi of Kosala. Even though he had visited the Buddha several times, and the Buddha had also expounded the Dhamma to him directly, given that he did not accumulate the seed of knowledge in his past life, he could not realize the truth offered to him by the Buddha. On the other hand, if a person has knowledge but is lacking in good conduct, even though he or she is capable of absorbing the Dhamma in the next life and becoming awakened after hearing it, the chances of meeting a Buddha or good spiritual teacher and hearing the Dhamma will be extremely slim due to the previous imperfections of conduct. We are lucky to be reborn at a time when the Dhamma still flourishes, and so should make every effort to develop both our knowledge and conduct together right now. End of chapter.